Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name, O God. We honor you. We lift up your name, O God. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your faithfulness, O God. Thank you for your grace. You are faithful, Lord Ibasarabo Shakarabo Sakaba. You are faithful, O God, Shedede Kuraba Sakaraba Shakariba. You are faithful, O Kuribasarabo Shikidibo Sakaraba. Your name be praised, your name be honored, your name be glorified, O God. You are holy, there is a name that is above every other name, O God. Thank you for that name, O God, Jesus. Thank you for that name, O God. Thank you. Thank you for that name, O God. Thank you for that name, O God. You are holy. You are holy. You are holy, God. Thank you that you are holy. You are holy. We bless your name, O God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your sweet spirit, O God. You're here. You're welcome, O God. Praise God, Jesus. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Doctor.
Amen. You're well?
Well.
And how is Uganda?
Uganda is fine.
Amen. We give glory to God. Uganda is represented today. No? All of Africa, I mean. Amen. No, I always say when Nigeria is there, all of Africa is there. So we thank God for the nations. Amen. 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 We give glory to God. Yeah, so today we'll... And always just feel free to ask, to interrupt at any point if, I mean, something is not clear. And I try to, like, make them just, it's for our understanding, huh? Because there's no point of going into so much and we don't understand. That's what I think. I tend to think it's better we understand, we take our time, we reflect on what God is saying, and we grow, because I am usually those who believe that the greatest form of deliverance is actually the deliverance of the word. And if we receive the word, then that word has the ability in its own, it has the power in itself to change us and to make us into the vessels that God wants us to be. So That's why we focus on the word, and by God's grace, he helps us. Amen. Okay, so we'll start. And so we've been looking at the fatherhood. In a way, we've been trying to understand the fatherhood of God and looking at different aspects of it. And today, I was just looking at Galatians chapter 4 and just reflecting on where it says Abraham had two sons. And this, maybe we'll try read Galatians chapter 4. We'll try pick some verses here, and then then we'll see how far we can go, depending on the time. But anyway, let's just read. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That is key, adoption of sons. Remember, he's speaking to the Gentiles, he's speaking to those who are not Israelites by birth, and he's telling them that, you know what, God, when the fullness of time came, God sent Jesus, sent forth his son, born of a woman, under the law, who was made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So we are adopted as sons. And when you think, just to reflect on that fatherhood and sonship, we are sons of God. I don't know how that word has to just sink in, that you are the son of the Most High God. As a believer, as a child of God, you are not just an illegitimate child, but you are a son. And you've been adopted as a son with every right. And we'll carry on into that. And it says, let's go to verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And basically what God is trying to tell us is that the witness of God that we are his sons is the presence of his Spirit in our hearts. So anytime you hear or you sense or you feel the leading of the Spirit of God, it's a reminder to you that you are born of God, you are born of the Spirit, you are born again, and you have the Spirit of God inside you. And even let me make it even more interesting. Even when you fall into sin, that Spirit of God inside you, that warns you, that tells you, that convicts you of sin, is the Holy Spirit. And his presence in us is the guarantee that we are sons of God. That means as sons, as we walk with God, yes, we might fall, but we don't live in sin. We might fall into sin in that out of our weakness, out of our humanness, out of our slips of our tongue, out of anger, out of things that we've listened to, out of situations that have come based on our weaknesses, based on our strengths. There are times that we might find that we slip up or we fall. But the difference between the believer and the unbeliever is that the believer has the Spirit of God inside them that convicts them of that sin. And when they're convicted of that sin, they repent and turn back to God. And even as they read the Word of God, the Word of God cleanses them. The Word of God cleanses, the Word of God washes. The Word of God is a mirror that reflects the things that we should be doing, the things that are off in us, and aligns them to the image of Christ. Remember, we are not conformed to the image of, we are not restored back to the image of Adam, who was a living soul, but we are restored to the image of Christ. We are restored to the image of Christ, and we are already made that image, but we grow into that image. And that's what I was trying to conclude yesterday, that when we look at what we are, it's just like when a child is born, that child is your child, but he still grows into your son or into a daughter of responsibility. But when we think of the things of God, we speak of sonhood, whether you're a woman or a man. Let's just carry on. When it says verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Keyword there. Sons have an inheritance. Sons are heirs of God through Christ. That means that your inheritance, I don't know whether you get that, your inheritance is God. Heirs of God, the God that owns the entire universe, the God that owns everything, the all-powerful God. You are an heir of God. You are going to receive the inheritance of God through Christ, not of our own effort, not of our own ability, not of our own capacity, but by simply putting our faith in Christ. Why? Because we have received the Spirit of His Son. So when God looks at us, He sees Christ. He sees His Son. Why? Because His Spirit, the Son of His Spirit, has come into our spirit and has given us life. And remember, we speak of the union of the Spirit of Christ and our spirits, which become married and become united, and the two become one flesh, the two become one spirit, because he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. The two united then become one spirit, and now we become the new man. We become the new man in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And remember, all this is happening in our spirit, and then we still have our physical nature, the members of our body that are on the earth. So just always have that distinction, and it's good as you read scriptures to know when the scriptures are referring to the spiritual man, to the new creation in us, and also at times when it's referring to the outer man, the flesh that we need to deal with, the human weakness that we have in us, this body that will be destroyed, that will die, that will remain on the earth, but the spirit man that is made after Christ. So let's carry on. Verse 8. How be it then, when you knew not God, did ye service unto them which by nature are no gods? But now, after you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are, and you have not injured me at all. And just to summarize here, Paul was speaking to the Galatians, and he was concerned that they were trying to follow the law, yet they were Gentiles, because some people who had been zealous for them were trying to teach them that they need to be circumcised to be believers. So he was telling them that, you know, who bewitched you? I mean, if you read in Galatians chapter 3, he's asked them, who bewitched you? Because you did not start by observing the law. You did not receive the Spirit by observing the law. God did not work out miracles among you by observing the law, but he worked out all these miracles among you by your faith. It was by putting your faith in Christ, and it was by grace. So that is the difference, and that is what he's trying to deal with. And then he tells them, verse 14, and my temptation which was in my flesh you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. So Paul was telling them that when he preached to them, actually he had an issue of the eye, in that he had either an infection of the eye, or his eyes were weak, or something was wrong with his eyes. Because if you read verse 15, it says, where is the blessedness you speak of? For I bear your record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. So a number of people would argue that, you know, the thorn in the flesh that Paul claims to have had must have been his issue with the eyes. That's an interpretation. On the other hand, I believe it's persecution, because everywhere he went, he faced persecution until he got to the point where he said, oh, the Spirit of Jesus has revealed to me, in every city I go to, I'll face persecution. And he never prayed against it again. But anyway, at the end of the day, even if you believe it's the eyes, that's fine. Because here it says that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. So he was telling them, when I preached to you guys, my eyes were weak, and I had an infirmity. And yet you received me as Christ. You loved me. You were joyful in me. And even if it were possible, you would have given me your own eyes. But you see, now he tells them, verse 16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Verse 17, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yeah, they would exclude you that you might affect them. Basically saying that these teachers are trying to win you over. I mean, with zeal, they're enthusiastic about winning you over, but that you might love them, you know, you might go after them. Verse 18, but it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing and not only when I'm present with you. Verse 19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. So he's saying, I'm in the pains of labor again. You can imagine he prays, he groans as he prays for them. Until what? Until Christ is formed in them. His desire is that Christ is formed in every believer. And this must be the desire of us, that Christ is formed in us. And every time we see something in us that does not conform to Christ, then we need to submit ourselves to Christ. Verse 20, it says, I desire to be present with you and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Verse 22, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondmaid or one by the slave girl, the other by a free woman. Now, this is where I want us to really focus. Verse 23, but he who was of the bond woman was born after the flesh. That means the child, Ishmael, that was of the slave girl, was born after the flesh, meaning it was born after human effort. But he that of the free woman was by the promise. I love how NLT puts it. It says that he that was of the free woman, he that was born of Sarah, was of the fulfillment of God's promise himself. Not even, it's like two children were born to Abraham. One was born of his human effort. One was born of his strength. One was born of his human capacity. But the one that was born of the promise was born by the fulfillment of Christ, of God's promise himself. Remember when we've been learning about the new covenant, the old covenant, Adam was told to do. Okay, think of Adam. Adam was told to do, take care of this, but he lacked the grace because he was living from his soul. It was his effort. Likewise, in the law, they were told, if you keep the covenant, if you obey the law, if you keep these commandments, this blessing will be yours. You'll be blessed in the city, you'll be blessed in the countryside, you'll be blessed in your going, blessed in your coming, blessed in all those areas. But you see, the difference is that in the new covenant, God says, afterwards, I will make a new covenant with them, because fault was found in the old covenant. In that, I will write their laws, my laws in their hearts. I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. So in the new covenant, in the children of the promise, in that it is God that fulfills the covenant. It is God that makes us righteous. It is God that makes us his sons by his own promise, by his own fulfillment. That is where it is him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us by his great presence before his great presence with great joy. Our job is to simply put our faith in Christ. Our faith in Christ, that our salvation will never be our human effort. It will never be by our righteousness. It will never be by our own capacity. It will never be by our own wisdom or strength. Never. It will be by the promise of God. Now that's why it says, but verse 23, but he that was of the bond woman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was born by the promise. Now, as a Christian, as a believer in Christ, with the understanding of the doctrine of Christ, is that you are a free child. You are a son. That means you're not born of the slave. Verse 24, which things are an allegory, or rather they are a representation, they're figurative, for these are two covenants. One from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which leads to bondage. That is, Mount Sinai refers to Hagar, which is what the Bible is saying, Hagar. Verse 25, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is in bondage with her children. So he was trying to tell them, Jerusalem, the Jews, those who are keeping the law, and no longer even the sons of Abraham. They're no longer even the sons of faith, but they are the sons of the bondwoman. They are figurative. Why? Because they are doing it by their effort. They are trying in their own capacity to be righteous. They believe by, you know, praying five times or praying first in Jerusalem or doing all that. They're trying, they believe that will make them righteous. Verse 26, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Verse 27, for it is written, rejoice thou barren, that bearest not, break forth and cry thou that travailest not, for the desolate has many more children than she that which has an husband. Verse 28, now we brethren, as Isaac, are the children of the promise. Verse 29, but even as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Verse 30, nevertheless, what was said of the scripture, cast out the bondwoman and her son, send away the slave girl and her son, for the son of the slave girl shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Now, there are many things that God can reveal to you in this chapter, and I'll ask you to reflect on it. But what I want you to understand is the new man and the old man, is the one that does on his own effort and the one that believes in Christ. There are those who do salvation even as slaves. Why do I say that? They are trying so hard. They want God to accept them. They fast, they give, they do everything. They go for all this time to be accepted or to receive from Christ or to get this gift or to get all these things. Yet, as a son, when you come as a child of the promise, you already are an heir to all of these things. The same way in your own home, your children, even though they are small, they already are guaranteed an inheritance by virtue of them just being children. Remember, we learned that as children of God, as adopted children of God, we are heirs of God through Christ. So that means as long as we are children of God, we receive the promise. Now, the challenge is there are those who, yes, are children, but live as slaves in the house. Now, think of the two sons, the prodigal son and the son in the house. They were both sons. They were both sons. But the one in the house always felt he was a slave. And he tells his father, Father, I have slaved, I have labored for you all these years, and you have never given me even a single, what is it called, a goat or a kid to celebrate with my friend. And the father asked him, but son, don't you know that all I have is yours? Now, you need to ask yourself, as you're doing even your faith, as even you're doing your Christianity, Are you living as a slave? Don't you know that you have the inheritance of God? Don't you know that everything that God has, He has said you are His heir? Don't you know that everything that you need, God has given, God has provided, God has already blessed you when He said He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in Christ, in heavenly places? Your job is to grow into it. Just like the way your child at this point, no matter whether you own five cars, even if there's a car for your child among your five cars, you never give that car at this point. But as the child grows into maturity, then it gets to a point, maybe during their wedding, then you'll be like, okay, now this is your key. This is your house. This is your land. I give this to you because right now you're mature. You can manage it. But if you give that land title when he's 18 or she's 18, she will sell it and go and party, just like the prodigal son. Now, we must remember that we are not children of the slave woman. We are not those who are trying to win God. We are not those who are trying to win the affections of God. You see, like even in a house, you can find children are like, okay, daddy, I will work hard so that you love me. And you know, I will work hard, I will be the best in class to win the affections of the father or to win that. But that child does not know that even though they fail, they are still loved of God. Even though they don't do well, in loved of their father. Even if they don't do well, they are still children. Now, that's the same relationship that we must have with God. Let us know that we are sons. Abraham had two sons, one of the slave woman. The slave woman's son, Ishmael, will be a child. Will still be loved by the father. Because remember, even Abraham felt the pain to send away his own son. But what the slaves receive are just gifts. He sent them away. He sent Ishmael with gifts. Yes, there's still a promise for those who still live as slaves. There are those they'll still get the gifts. They'll still have the miracles. They'll still have the signs. But they will never experience the love, the truest love of a father, to know that it is never their effort. They are sons. They are of the promise. And they should live as those of the promise. You see, the Galatians, they were born of the promise, they were born of Christ, they were born again, but they desired to live as slaves. And it's like, who bewitched you? When you just accepted Christ, had you done anything? No. You just said, I believe, I receive. So where does that change? That is now being living. You must choose to live as a child of the promise, as a child of God, as a child who is an heir of God. God owns all things. We own all things. God has given us all things, even if we don't see it, even if we don't physically, it doesn't physically reflect now, we will grow into it. We grow into it. We must know that we have it first. We must know who we are. That is the difference between the prodigal son. The prodigal son, he got to himself and he said, no, even the slaves in my own father's house eat better than what I'm eating. And he said, I will go back to my father and say, I am not worthy to be your child. Just make me like one of your hired slaves. But the father said, this son of mine that was lost is now found. He was dead, but is now alive. We are the children of the promise. Every Christian is the children of the promise, but few know that they are sons. Some choose to live as slaves. And if you choose to follow after the law, if you choose to go again into your own effort, if you choose to do all these things to be loved, then you live like a slave. But if you love Christ, and if you love God, and you do these things because you are loved, not to be loved, then you are a child of the promise. So I'm not saying that you need to not do anything, no. But where do you do it from? Where do you stand? Where is your stand? Are you doing it as a son? Just like the way when you've grown up in your own home, a point gets to where you're like, oh, there's no sugar in the house. you go and get sugar. You become responsible. So God expects us to grow into responsibility as sons. And that's why any responsible son will not just be idle in the church. They will find something to do. They will either usher, they will either do this, because it burdens them that God's house is hanging. God's house is not well, or something is amiss. That is a child of God. That is one that has grown into a son. Sons take responsibility. I'll stop there and just think again. Abraham had two sons. One of the slave, one of the free woman. You can choose which side you want to belong. Yeah. God bless. You're welcome for any reflections.
Thank you, Doctor. Thank you for the message. I don't have anything else to add, just I've indeed we take the word as a reminder about positioning as sons of God and what it means in terms of what we inherit and how we should make ourselves worthy of being called the sons of God. Matthew, thanks. I don't have anything else to add.
Amen. Any other reflections?
Nothing much to add, but just I think for me it's also a reminder and a wake up call of the finished work of Christ and how we shouldn't be entangled in the dictates of the law.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, let us give glory to God. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. We know it is not from us, but it is from you. It is by your Spirit that you teach us, that you speak to us, that you remind us that we are called of you and we are your children, and you have called us sons. You have adopted us to be sons of God through Christ, and you've given us your Spirit of your Son to live in us, to abide in us forever. And I pray that you open our minds, our understandings, not to live as slaves, not to live as survivors, not to live as those who are trying so hard to win the affection of God, but to live as the beloved of Christ, to live as the beloved of God, to live as the beloved sons with whom you are well pleased. And I pray that, Lord, even your word, it shall take root. And even for them that do not know you, them that desire to know you, that, Lord, even as they repent of their sins and accept the Spirit of Christ to dwell in them, that you may receive them this very moment and even give them the understanding and the patience and the wisdom to live the life of the promise, and to live as children of the promise, and to live as heirs of God through Christ. And I thank you that indeed whatever we shall face, you are with us, that you have never left us alone, the challenges that we go through, that you are in control, any difficulties that we face, that you fight for us, because you never leave us or forsake us. Your name is great, your name is mighty, your name is powerful. Be lifted up on high and be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed, blessed day. God's people.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Kuraba shikiri bayakabo sakata. Kuri bayaraba siri bo shakarabo shikiri bo kubas. Kuraba yakaraba siri bo shakarabaka sakata.